Jesus has performed his greatest miracle, raising Lazarus from the dead, but not everyone is happy in Jerusalem, and danger is in the air.
Welcome to the Heaven and Home Hour. Today, teacher Jonathan Williams will share with us a message called Leave Her Alone. This is part one of a two-part message that is taken from a special series entitled The Women Jesus Loved. If you have your Bibles ready, let's join him now in John chapter 11, beginning in verse 46.
It was the last stop before Jerusalem. Jesus and his disciples had traveled many miles from Galilee in the north, where his fame was greatest, on their final journey to the city of the great king, Jerusalem. The disciples did not know it, but it was his last journey. Only Jesus did, and a woman who gained great insight into the things of God. Her name was Mary, and she and her family loved Jesus dearly. Jesus had been in their home before. On his first visit, he was teaching the men who were gathered around him while the women busily prepared a meal for their special guest. Well, not all of the women were preparing. While Martha was busily engaged in the meal, she noticed that her sister was missing and discovered her sister sitting with the men. And not just sitting with the men, but she was up front right at Jesus' feet, listening with fascination at every word that came from his mouth, oblivious to all that needed to get done for the meal. "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work to get this meal ready?" Martha had asked. Jesus replied, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, when only a few things are necessary. Really, only one. And Mary has discovered what this one thing is as she sits at my feet." It was a great lesson for both sisters, and this first encounter with Jesus in their home, his compassion for them both, and the wisdom of his teaching showed them the one treasure to be valued above all other treasures, Jesus himself. They believed that he was the promised Messiah, and their love and devotion to him was steadfast. They knew he had the words of God. They knew he had authority over all evil spirits that afflicted men. They knew that in him forgiveness could be found. And they knew that he had power to make the sick well. When their brother Lazarus fell gravely ill, the sisters urgently and confidently sent their servants to Jesus that he might come and heal him. They knew he would come. Jesus loved them. They knew that Jesus loved their brother Lazarus. They knew that God would hear their prayer, and Jesus' prayer for healing, and everything would be all right. But in their longest night, and in their greatest test of faith, Lazarus grew weaker. Jesus did not come, and Lazarus died. The grief was overwhelming. Their beloved brother had unexpectedly died, and their beloved master, Jesus, had failed them, so they thought. He had not come in time to heal Lazarus. And when Jesus did arrive, 4 days after his death, they wept at his feet, and Jesus wept with them. But the death of Lazarus was an opportunity to teach the sisters a deeper lesson. Jesus had power to heal, yes, and he also had power to raise the dead. And Jesus not only had power to raise the dead, but he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live forever with me." "Did the sisters believe this?" he asked. And when they said yes, Jesus took them to the tomb and raised their dead brother to life. "Lazarus, come forth," Jesus had said. And their dead brother breathed again and walked out of the tomb and lived. Astonishment and indescribable joy swept over the sisters. Their love for Jesus deepened, and they were committed to him, the great treasure, above all else. But not everyone was committed to Jesus. After Jesus raised Lazarus, some of the bystanders who were not sympathetic to Jesus went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. The Pharisees went to the chief priests in the temple in Jerusalem and told them, and they all convened a council and said, "What are we doing? This Jesus is a deceiver, and he's performing these great signs. If we let him go on like this, he will continue to perform greater signs, and all the people will believe in him. Another said, "Yes, and this will only stir up the Romans. They're always watchful for insurrection from us. When they see all the people following Jesus, they'll take it as a threat, and they'll come and remove us from our place of leadership, and they will then destroy the nation." Caiaphas, the high priest, listened for some time as the council discussed the problem of Jesus, but didn't seem to know what to do about him. It was clear that he was performing many miracles, but they did not believe the miracles were from God. They believed Jesus was a deceiver. But what should they do about him? Finally, Caiaphas spoke,
Brothers, please, quiet, all of you. It is clear from this discussion that none of you knows what to do. But I believe our course of action is very clear. One man must die. Either this man dies, or the nation dies. Either we arrest Jesus and charge him, or we will lose our nation to the Romans. All fell quiet. It was a conclusion that many of them had thought about for some time, that Jesus must die. But they had been afraid to say it aloud. And now Caiaphas had uttered the words that the religious leaders had wanted to hear all along. They must do away with Jesus. And from that point on, they planned to kill him and gave orders that if anyone found him, they must report his location so they could arrest him. The Passover of the Jews was near. Pilgrims from across the land and even from the far corners of the Roman Empire journeyed to Jerusalem for the festival. As they journeyed and as they congregated in the temple in preparation for the great feast that commemorated their deliverance from Egypt, they asked, "Do you think Jesus is coming to the feast? And if he comes, what will he do? And what will the leaders do? For there is a rumor that they're sending out word for his arrest." And the people wondered what would take place in the days to come. Jesus and his disciples were finishing the long walk from Jericho to Jerusalem, 17 long miles upward from the desert floor to the mountains of Judea. But rather than go straight to Jerusalem, Jesus stopped in one of his favorite places. It was the city where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived. Jesus was in Bethany, but this time he was enjoying a meal at the house of Simon the leper, one of the lepers that he had healed. The disease of leprosy that afflicted many people in that part of the world was doubly difficult. It was difficult because of the obvious physical infirmity that it brought, and it was difficult because it cut off a person from the rest of the community. When Jesus healed the lepers, it was a double healing, for the person's affliction was now gone, and the person could be restored to the community and enter into the social life of his friends, family, and worshipers of God. When Jesus went to the home of Simon the leper, he was showing that Simon was physically healed and he was also restored to God's people. Many were there, the disciples, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Martha was busily engaged in the kitchen preparing supper for this great host of people. And the crowds swarmed around the house, and some came into the great banquet room and stood along the walls to watch the great feast. They wanted to see Jesus, and they wanted to see Lazarus, for all knew that Lazarus had died, was buried in the tombs for 4 days, and that Jesus had raised him back to life. But not everyone in the crowd was full of joy. Some were spies from the council of the religious leaders, and they were sent to arrest Jesus and to kill Lazarus. For because of Lazarus, more and more people were believing in Jesus. Finally, all of the men who were to eat came in to recline at the table. First came Simon the leper, for he was the host. He welcomed the disciples. Then Jesus, and there at Jesus' side was Lazarus, alive and full of health and vitality. Some of the people whispered, "It's true. Look, there's Lazarus. Jesus did raise Lazarus. Praise be to God. Jesus must be the Messiah." Simon the leper turned to Jesus and said, "Master, giver of life, will you offer our prayer of thanks before we recline at table? All grew quiet. Jesus lifted his face and his hands to heaven and said, Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. All said Amen. The servants began to wash the men's feet and anoint them before they reclined at table. The women prepared to serve. The crowd stood along the walls. But someone was missing. Where was Mary? She had not been in the kitchen helping her sister, and this time Martha did not seem to be disturbed as she and her helpers joyfully prepared the meal for Jesus and her brother and Simon and the disciples. Martha half expected to see her bold sister Mary in the room with the men, listening to Jesus and preparing to eat with him. But when she looked around the room, Mary was nowhere to be seen. Where was Mary? She was mingling with the crowd. She wanted to be close to Jesus, but there was no approaching him. Simon and the disciples and her brother Lazarus seemed to have Jesus' full attention, and Mary did not sense that it was right for her to be among them at this time. Besides, she was happy for her brother Lazarus to be close to Jesus and to learn more from him. Then Mary heard disturbing whispers.
He's here, and Lazarus is here too.
And when Mary looked in their direction, they quickly stopped talking and turned away as if they did not want her to hear what they were saying. The men looked evil, and Mary sensed that they were not there to learn, but were there to cause harm. A few minutes later, she heard more whispering.
He must die, and the other one must die too.
And this time, Mary grew alarmed. But just when she was about to go to Jesus to tell him these words, she heard the voice of Jesus rise up.
Thank you for joining us today on the Heaven and Home Hour. All during the month of February, we are doing a special series called The Women Jesus Loved. All of these messages tell the stories of the women Jesus encountered during his earthly ministry. Get your copy of The Women Jesus Loved in a 9-CD set and 200-page book, both for only $45. Or you can order either one separately. The 9-CD set, which contains all of this month's messages, is only $35. And the 200-page book, with historical insights and questions for reflections, is only $15. To place your order, simply call us at 1-800-248-4687. That's 1-800-248-4687. Or visit our website at heavenandhomehour.com and mention The Women Jesus Loved when ordering. Amen, and see you next time.